From Capital Analytics, I'm Abby Malone, and this is Invest Insights. Every week, we bring you perspectives, business advice, and more from the leading executives, entrepreneurs, and investors who are building, diversifying, and leading the way in the country's fastest-growing metro markets. Real leaders, real insights, right now. These are challenging times. The COVID-19 pandemic has tested our institutions, our businesses, and ourselves in ways many of us could have not predicted. When we started this podcast, we focused on crisis management as the pandemic raged. Season 2 was all about resilience in the face of uncertainty. And our new season will look at what has emerged as the dominating theme of the pandemic, transformation. From products and services and consumer relations to future plans and how these leaders themselves have personally transformed. We'll be going in depth to learn just how much our world has changed. Enjoy. I'm joined today by Peter Warhurst, the president and founder of Red Rover. Peter, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Abby.
Having just launched in 2020, your company, Red Rover, has already seen extremely positive feedback from the community as well as investor interest, having just raised $13 million in your latest round of funding. How is your company and the concept of fetchable storage going to transform the moving and storage industries? And how do you feel your company is addressing prominent challenges and gaps that currently exist in the self-storage industry?
You know, the self-storage industry and the moving storage have been around for decades. Historically, it was the full-service movers, the Mayflowers, things like that, or truck rental. Those were your two options. And when we dropped pods in between those two, we sort of were disruptive and gave the consumer another option. I founded Pods back in 97, right? So Pods was very disruptive because it gave the consumer another alternative in an industry that needed change. The moving industry and the truck industry was trucking industry. It's just gotten lackadaisical, for lack of a better word. So we introduced a new solution. And, you know, unfortunately, hindsight's 2020. And when we started Pods, we thought we were going to have 100 boxes and we were going to be in Clearwater, Florida. And when we sold the business, you know, we were all through the U.S. and Canada and Australia, and we could have done a lot of things better, and that's sort of where Red Rover comes in. Came up with a concept on how to improve on the portable storage model, and that consisted of eliminating the loss leader of the delivery system. The delivery system in portable storage is never made profit, and we always thought it would. The whole basis of Red Rover is, we're not going to charge for a delivery service because we're going to let you drive the truck. So what we believe we've done is we've taken the portable container and we've married it with a truck you drive. And in doing so, we've empowered the consumer to get it when they want it. Don't have to wait for the delivery system. We've eliminated $200-$300 in costs for the consumer. And we've taken a lot of overhead off of us and burden on us as a company. So we actually end up being more profitable while saving the consumer money and empowering them to do what they're really setting out to do.
The in-migration to Florida has significantly increased over the past year with people from the Northeast that continue to move down in droves. How have you been able to capitalize on this migration with your offices in both New York and Florida?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And we had to change our business plan when the pandemic came in. We were originally going to open Tampa Bay and then Orlando and maybe Fort Lauderdale. But being nimble, that's one of the words we use around here a lot. Being nimble, we decided that we would try and service all of Tampa Bay and all of Florida from Tampa Bay for inbound moves. So in lieu of opening Orlando or Fort Lauderdale, we went up and we opened up all of Long Island, Brooklyn, and we're migrating into Manhattan. And what that does, it's a testimonial to the power of this model. A consumer can come and get a truck, drive it as far as they need to drive it, load it up, bring it back, and we can bring it down here to Tampa Bay and then ultimately redeliver it out into Fort Lauderdale or Palm Beach or Orlando, wherever the consumer's moving. So we're able to capitalize on those 1,000 people a day that are moving from New York to Florida. We're able to capitalize on that and provide them a cheaper alternative to what they had prior to Red Rover.
How are you applying the most significant lessons you've learned from your prior companies like Pods or EAI Systems to position Red Rover in the most successful way?
Yeah, you know, EA Heights, going back to the early 80s, that was a technology company that automated 911 systems when 911 was coming into Tampa Bay. And ever since that career, I realized that automation and empowering the consumer was obviously the best for everybody. And it reduces our overhead, but it also enables the consumer to do more. And so I brought that technology with me to Pods, and then now I'm taking it to Red Rover. And the mistakes we made at Red Rover, such as the delivery system, such as a narrow reach — we talk about reach with our business. We have all these satellite sites where consumers can come and get a truck. Nobody's there. They enter a code. They go in. They get their truck that's assigned to them. They can take it home, load it up, bring it back. And by locating satellite sites across a larger area, we're able to reach more consumers and provide a better service. So there's a dozen other things that, you know, we've incorporated, but the cost of the delivery system and the lack of profit in it for the company and the cost for the consumer is really the driver behind Red Rover.
In a time when people are looking to touchless technology more and more and a focus on limiting interaction with others, how well positioned is your company to accommodate these needs? And in what ways did you have to quickly transform your approach in order to do so?
Yeah, I wish I could tell you that we had the foresight to know that the pandemic was coming and that we had planned it all along. But by the nature of our business, we have these unmanned satellite sites. We fog our vehicles and sterilize the interiors of them. And then we position them in these satellite sites where the consumer can come and not have to interact with anybody. They can open the gate themselves. They can drive the truck away, bring the truck back. And we literally don't see 90% of our customers. So that has really worked well and played well in a society that is very concerned about transmittal of diseases. And so we've been fortunate. It wasn't planned, but it seemed to work out well for us.
And through handling all the events and challenges of the past year, how have you personally transformed?
You know, I used to play a lot of golf.
Sure.
I came out of retirement for the third time, and I had this idea 3.5-4 years ago, and I just could not let it go. That's my personality. I knew it was a better solution. I'm fortunate that I opened in Tampa Bay and was able to raise the $13 million that you mentioned. We have numerous other capital raises going right now and different means for people to invest, but it has allowed me to establish this early footprint, bring to market a technology that I know is going to benefit the consumer, and I know ultimately give my investors a good return. And quite candidly, I'm having a blast doing it. So that's my transformation. I went from golf to just having fun.
Raising capital in the state of Florida becomes challenging when entrepreneurs and startups are looking for larger amounts and have traditionally gone to places like New York or San Francisco to find those investors in that level of funding. What has been your experience in raising capital?
Well, you know, we intentionally started in Tampa Bay because that's where I started Pod. So we had a lot of friends and family in Tampa Bay. So the $13 million was our most recent round. The employees and early investors probably add another $6 or $7 million to that. So we've raised about $20 million. But you're absolutely right. Now we're reaching out past that. We're talking to two banks out of New York to do a sophisticated round. We have an investment banker out of Texas that's prepared to do a roadshow with us. But we also have the ability to do like a family fund and put them in a area of development where they could open up all of Texas if they wanted to. It's crucial for our business. In order to move people from point A to point B, we have to be in A and B. Can't just move them if we don't have a presence there. So our number one goal is to expand our footprint, and we'll do that through several vehicles, you know, joint ventures and area development, but also a large capital raise coming up.
You've been listening to Invest Insights. Be sure to follow, rate, and review this podcast to hear more. I'm Abby Malone. Thank you for tuning in.